Hello and welcome to the monthly call for the Sales Transformation Mastermind. I'm so excited that you're here. We have some great content for you to help you not only tweak your sales, but really dramatically increase your sales. And as you know, this program is all about a slow but consistent mindset shift. And that's what my goal is today, is to answer the questions that I've found from the forum, from people asking me directly, wherever, and putting it all into this call. And again, if you have questions that you want answered, go to the forum and just write in. You can either start a new thread, or there's already some threads about sales questions that you have. And write in your biggest sales questions, and I will be sure to include those in some of the upcoming calls. For this call, I just focused on really just a couple of questions, because I think I'm seeing a lot of repeat over and over and over again in where people's challenges are. And so there are two questions that I think really struck me as really specific and relevant to what a lot of people's questions are. So let's get right into it. Greg asked me on the forum, he said, "Mark, the products and service I sell range from the business owner down to the office manager, which may actually eventually involve a receptionist. And a lot of times I get bounced around a business in my pursuit to discover challenges. Is it best to start at the top or the bottom?" And Greg, I love that question, because I think that that is something that a lot of organizations relate to, right? So many of us have products or offerings that are going to range in terms of who's going to be the end user and who's going to get the most value. It's going to range all over the organization, from the person who's literally on the front lines to the senior manager, the CEO, or whomever. And it's so critical that we become very clear on who is going to be our first point of entry into an organization. And now there are a lot of schools of thought on this, but I will tell you that from a sales perspective, if you are selling in business-to-business products, then where we want to start is at the top of the organization. And here's why. It is always so much easier to start at the top and then work your way down, as opposed to start at the bottom and work your way up. Now, there are some exceptions to that. People who sell specific subscription software, where the goal is, of course, to get the, let's say, the salespeople or people within an organization to actually use the software and then go back to senior management and say, "Hey, see, these people are using this." That would be an exception. But I would argue that that's a really rare exception, and that requires a very specific type of strategy. But even from a sales perspective, the salesperson still wants to be starting the conversation at the top of the organization. And, when we are trying to sell to folks at the bottom of the organization, we've got to remember they don't have budgets. They typically don't even have decision-making authority. They have a million things on their plate, and they're unlikely to see the big picture value and ultimately be able to persuade people higher up in the organization that your offering is the right offering. On the other hand, when you call in at a high level within an organization, you are getting to someone, let's say it's a CEO or a VP or a director, depending on what your offering is and how big of an organization you're selling to, the people higher up in the organization, they have decision-making authority. They have budgets for your types of solutions. And if they don't have a specific budget for your solution, then they can move money around to create the budget if the need and the challenges are significant enough, right? And so when we're starting at that high level, we are immediately moving aside so many roadblocks that will likely happen when we're selling to folks lower in the organization. The other thing that I'll say, I mean, I'm so passionate about this issue, and I'm so glad Greg brought this up, and I know there were a bunch of questions about this type of an issue. When you are selling, in fact, I just wrote an article about this, two different salespeople at working at the same organization, selling the same exact products. And one of the salespeople was taking home about $35,000 a year in take-home pay. The other salesperson was taking home $400,000 to $500,000 in take-home pay. And you'd say, wow, that literally doesn't even sound possible. And I'm telling you, I see it so often. And remember, they have access to the exact same suite of products. They have a similar number of clients. But what's interesting is that the salesperson who's absolutely crushing it is simply selling so much higher up in the organization. And so that person is dealing with VPs, directors, selling really high, and the person who's just getting by is really selling to, brand managers and, more frontline person. And as a result, the size of sales that they're making are hugely disparate, but, 10 times different. And this is exactly the reason why I'm so passionate about this issue. People always push back on me and they say, oh, yeah, but, trying to get to a CEO is really difficult, or trying to get to a VP is really difficult. Sure. But it's also difficult to get to the low-level manager in a lot of cases. And more importantly, you have to talk to probably 100 of those low-level managers to have the same buying capacity as one high-level person. Right. So I think hopefully you're bought into this idea of selling higher. But now the question is, well, how does someone like Greg avoid being sent down the organization? Because this is one of the big challenges that a lot of salespeople face when selling to higher level buyers, is that they, let's say they actually get in front of a CEO or a VP, and they actually have an opportunity to try to sell that person. What happens is they start talking about conversations and value that is not relevant to someone who's that high up in the organization. So I'll give you an example of, again, working off this example of the two salespeople that I was telling you about before. What we have to put ourselves in the mind of the high-level buyer and the low-level buyer, and what's important to each of those people. So we'll start with a low-level buyer because it's easier. Things that the low-level buyer care about are things like your customer service, the availability of service, the price. Things that are, you can probably see a pattern, but these are kind of low level value that will of course separate you from your competition. But the problem is that it doesn't really have to do much with your actual offering and the value that your offering creates, right? So in the case of these two salespeople, they're selling, branded items and basically marketing services, right? And so the low-level salesperson or the salesperson who's selling to low-level people is saying, oh, we have the best service. We're going to make sure that we take great care of you. We have an awesome arrangement of products, right? And so the low-level buyer is like, oh, okay, cool. So let's talk about price. Let's talk about that service, because they're thinking, yeah, I'm going to be dealing with these people. I want to make sure that they have great service. But if that same salesperson uses that approach with a high-level buyer, like a CEO or a VP of marketing, that VP of marketing is going to be like, oh, that's really great, but I'm probably not the right person to talk to. I'm going to connect you with Danny, who kind of manages all that stuff. And then that VP now has sent you down the ladder because you talked about things, the value that you offered was really most relevant to a lower level person in the organization. So now let me finish that by now talking about what does that high level buyer care about? And so the big thing, I always think of this as the high level buyer cares about results. The high level buyer cares about outcomes. They don't care about things like service and price and, what would be another example? Particular product features. What they care about is, if I invest money with you, is there going to be a return on that? Am I going to see results as a result of that? And so now let's talk about the types of conversations that the higher level salesperson, in my example, is having, right? So again, these two salespeople sell the exact same suite of products, but the higher level salesperson is talking about things like consistency of branding, return on trade show investment, increasing top line revenues. And now when we start to talk to a high level buyer or decision maker about things like that, there's going to be a light bulb in their head, and they're going to say, oh, actually, I'm bonused based on increasing high level or top line revenue. So this conversation is relevant to me. I'm not going to then send this salesperson down. I'm going to continue this conversation with this person because they're speaking my language. And that's really important. And vice versa, right? If this high-level salesperson goes to a low-level buyer, the low-level buyer is just, it's like completely out of their world, right? Increasing revenues, brand consistency. They're going to be like, oh, well, that's great, but that's not really what I'm focused on, right? I just want to make my job easier. So we really, by positioning our value in such a way that it's going to appeal to that high-level buyer, we're not going to get bounced around the business. And so going back to Greg's question is, Greg said, I sell a range of products and services from the person at the top of the organization all the way down to the receptionist. Well, my challenge to you is focus your offering and focus your value on how that is going to dramatically improve the life of the owner or the CEO and sell to that person. And yes, the offering is going to affect down to the office manager and the receptionist at times, but make sure that you're selling it and positioning it and packaging it in a way that's going to be appealing to that high-level person. And I can tell you that this piece of advice is going to be relevant to every single person who is on this call right now, because so often we get caught up in these little features, these little benefits of our offering that are completely irrelevant to that high level buyer, right? And so we need to make sure that even though, yes, our offering may improve people at different levels of the organization, what we're really focusing on is what's going to appeal to that high-level buyer. And of course, by doing that, we're not only going to be closing better sales, but we're going to be closing much larger sales. And, one of the things that people always say to me is they say, oh, how do I close more sales? And I say, you're asking the wrong question. The goal is not to close more sales. The goal, of course, is to make more money. And the way we make more money is very rarely by closing more sales. Of course, there's certain people that just need to close more sales. But for the most part, it's about closing bigger sales. If you can close bigger sales by packaging what you're doing into bigger offerings and selling that offering to a higher level buyer, you are going to make a lot more money. Because it takes just as much time and effort to sell to that high-level buyer. But remember, you can close far fewer of those and blow past any of your sales numbers or your sales goals, as opposed to just hitting, you know, little singles all day long with these low-level buyers, which, by the way, they're not that easy to sell to, right? They're comparing prices to other people. They're focused so much on price. And of course, price is always the biggest issue that people come to me with. You know, how do I get people to stop focusing on price? Well, the first thing is, who the heck are you selling to in the first place, right? And so I hope that's useful. I hope this idea is valuable. And most importantly, is that you start to think about how can, even though we were answering Greg's question, because he was so great to ask this question in the forum, but most importantly, looking at this for yourself, for the people listening to this, is how do I start to think about what is important to the high-level buyer? And so that may mean that you have some conversations with folks around the office, or if you've got clients that are high-level buyers, you know, what about your offering is most appealing to them? And very rarely is it the nuts and bolts kind of stuff. It's so important to make that distinction. So that is this idea of selling high. Always sell high. In my book, Game Plan Selling, we need to be, I talk about this idea of cloud calling, right? You've got to be up in the clouds. You don't want to be down in the mud with the people who have been trained to beat up salespeople. You want to be up in the clouds with the CEO, the VP, the directors. These people, they don't care about your price. What they care about is that you are going to make them look good. You are going to help them hit their bonus by increasing revenues or by cutting labor costs or whatever it is. By helping them identify better talent, right? I mean, whatever your offering does, really the value and the outcome and the results is what you want to be focusing on. So I hope you take action with that. Another question that was asked, and again, I'm trying to stick within a general theme for today's call. And so the other question that I picked out, which I thought was great, was from Glenn. And Glenn writes, Mark, I sell into high value, long sales cycle organizations. And there's typically multiple people involved in the decision process. And I can oftentimes be perceived as a commodity. And so they'll say things like, so what's the price? Becomes a prevailing mantra. So I'm looking to improve and show more value. I'm looking to reduce cycle time and get the eyes off the price. So I love those questions. And again, I think you'll obviously thematically it fits with what we've been talking about so far. And there's actually a lot to unpackage here. So I'm excited to dig into this a little bit. So first of all, I love how Glenn says, I sell into high value organizations, or I sell, you know, high value stuff. And that's a really powerful positioning, even just in his own, I'm sure he's not even thinking about it, but Glenn, just by saying that, is already telling me that he is someone who understands the path to success, which is that we should all be saying that when you frame your question with me, it should be, you know, I sell big offerings into high value clients, right? Because that is the path to success. And so even though that's not his question, I just want to point out to everyone how valuable that mindset is already. We should all have that. Selling is about 20% technique and 80% mindset. And that kind of a mindset is so important. I mean, actually, just it reminds me too of the question that Greg asked about, you know, selling to that high level buyer. One of the biggest things that hold people back from selling to high level buyers is simply that they're uncomfortable. They don't see themselves as equal to a CEO or a director or a VP. And so as a result, they're so much more comfortable selling to that low-level manager because that's how they see themselves, right? This is a self-esteem, a self-confidence issue just as much as it is a tactical issue. And so, so many people always, they get the idea that, oh, I should sell to high-level buyers, but they don't do it because they're uncomfortable. So my challenge to you is to start to think like Glenn here, where you sell high level, high value offering to high value people, and you are high value. Even if you're just a new salesperson or you're an inside salesperson, I want you to think of yourself like the CEO that you are or the VP that you are. And so that way you think of yourself as a peer to these high level prospects. So let's start to unpack Glenn's question. He says typically a lot of people involved in the decision-making process. So I'll take that as a question, first of all. A lot of people involved in the decision-making process. That is not a big deal. What's important, though, is understanding who is the final decision-maker. Very rarely, unless you're selling truly to committees, very rarely is there actually a committee of decision makers. They do exist in certain industries, but for the most part, it's you'll have a decision maker who wants to get buy-in or collaboration from a broader team. And so that means identifying who really is the decision maker first. And so that means that during the sales discovery conversation, at some point, and it's typically towards the end of discovery, when you're talking to the person who, even if they're the CEO and you assume that they're the decision maker, you still say something like, you know, so who else besides yourself is involved in this decision-making process? Or can you give me a sense of what's your typical decision-making process for a project like this? Now, write those down. You know, if you have to rewind it, go back and write those down, right? Because they're such valuable questions. And what it does is it gives you an idea of who are those key people involved, and making sure, though, that you're always staying connected to that key decision maker, even if you're meeting or talking with other folks and maybe including other people in conversations and having conference calls and that type of thing. But always making sure that you know who you have to win over and ultimately who's going to make the decision. Because, you know, there's just this, of course, can be very complex in some organizations, and it can be very simple. For example, if you're selling more consumer space, right? If you're in real estate, for example, residential real estate, the decision making process is usually simpler. And it rarely comes down, by the way, to just one person, although it can. But it's important to understand really what that whole process looks like. So that's the first part. The second part is, he says, my offering can be perceived as a commodity. And so that leads people to say, so what's the price? And he calls it the prevailing mantra is, what's the price? And so that's a really common issue that a lot of people have. And so first thing, Glenn, that I would say to you, and I would say to everyone who's dealing with this, because I'm sure most people on this call are, is that we never want to think of what we have to offer as a commodity. And if what we offer is perceived as a commodity, then change the way you present your offering. And so this so much has to do with how you're starting the conversation in the first place with prospects. Because realistically, any product or service that you have could be perceived as a commodity if you're presenting it the same way everyone else is, right? So if you seem like, in the eyes of your prospect, is like every other salesperson out there who's selling this offering, then you will be perceived as a commodity. And once you're perceived as a commodity, then it becomes about price, right? So what's the price? And so my question is, are you leading with your product pitch? Are you leading with pitching about your services and how great they are? Because if that's what you're doing, then that's going to lead your prospect in their mind to have that switch that trigger switched where they're going to say, oh, this is a commodity. And so now, because it's like everyone else, what's price? And so we need to refocus and reposition the way we're having these conversations. And by the way, in the quick training library that you have access to, I would do a search for the videos. I have so many videos on this topic about sales questions and value. You know, if you just type in value as a keyword or questions, you're going to get some really good videos on that'll take you more deeply into specific components of this. And of course, in the Sales Strategy Academy, the training program, which you can also get access to, you don't have access to it in this, but that's where I literally take you through the whole process of thinking about how you're really creating long-term value. But for the sake of this call, what I want to start with is this idea that you want to be focusing on your prospects' challenges. You are in the business of solving challenges. You are in the business of creating results and outcomes. And this is really important because what you'll notice, excuse me, what you'll notice, that should be the last one. What you'll notice is that we're taking your product and your offering out of the conversation entirely. And instead, it's going to become focused more on their key challenges. So the way, I can only give you an example in my world because it's just off the top of my head, but the way, in my consulting work that I do with, large and mid-sized companies, which is always typically a six-figure consulting contract at least, is there would be two ways to start my conversation with a prospect. One would be to come in and say, I'm a best-selling author and I come into your organization and I really help you develop a sales process for your team. And I can tell you that we are the best in the world at doing this. We have a spectacular selling system that we bring in and we help really turn around your sales team. Right. So that's one. It may have sounded compelling to you, but probably not. But more importantly, it was focused 100% on me and my offering, as opposed to how I would prefer us start this conversation, or I'd prefer myself to start this conversation, would be something like this. George, I really appreciate you being on this call. And I can tell you that having worked with hundreds of different organizations, a lot of the challenges that I'm seeing CEOs like yourself facing is they're not getting much visibility into their sales organization's results and activities. They're worried that their company's simply not positioned in a way to really close sales. Or lastly, they're just not getting the return on the investment that they're making into the sales team. Do any of those issues ring true to you? Now, if you compare the two, and you might want to just rewind this if you're listening to the recording, and of course, if you're live, you can't do that. But if you listen to the two, the first one was about me, and it was about talking about how great my offering was. And ultimately, price is going to become much more relevant because I'm starting to pitch my services. And so as a buyer is just thinking, okay, well, how do I compare this person to someone else? Versus the second approach, which was focusing on their challenges and engaging that prospect in a conversation. And so I'm talking about some of the key challenges that I'm seeing, and then I'm saying, do any of these ring true to you? And of course, any CEO is going to, if he's paying attention and if he's willing to have this conversation, is at some point going to say, yeah, you know what? We do have that issue. We don't feel like we're getting the ROI on our sales investment. And that's where I start to take them into this disqualification conversation. Which, if you've read my book, or if you've been through Sales Strategy Academy, or you've even watched my videos, this idea of disqualifying prospects, where you're starting to ask questions that are focusing on them and their challenges. Things like, can you give me an example of what's really going on? Or, if you were able to solve this challenge, what would that mean to the organization? And so questions like that are really starting to create value. So to Glenn's point about showing more value or getting away from price, the way we get away from price and creating more value is simply by we stop talking about what we are selling and focus instead on the challenges that they're facing up front. And so we don't actually talk about our offering until we get into the presentation, which comes considerably later. So when it's about your offering, it becomes about price. And when it's about their challenges, price isn't even a relevant question, right? Because, and then when it's, hey, so a question that I'm always asking, like I mentioned before, is, you know, George, if you could solve this challenge with your organization about, you know, your underperforming sales team, what would it mean to the organization in increased revenues? And the CEO says, oh, I think we could at least be doing $5 million more. I have now just gotten the CEO to articulate the value of what it is that we're talking about. And that's how we create value. It's not saying that my offering is worth $5 million, but there is an implication that if I can solve that challenge, that it's worth at least $5 million. And thus, if my offering is $250,000 or $500,000, it makes sense because, geez, I mean, if I invest $500,000, we're going to make $5 million more. And again, there's risk involved in that, and it's not just an obvious connection. But that's how we're starting to get them to think in terms of value. And that's really important because value comes by solving challenges and really helping them do that math. So that example, and by the way, I mean, that example is a very real example. I was recently with a prospect about a month ago where CEO of an organization, and I asked, he's telling me about his challenges, the team, and I said, look, if you were able to get your sales organization firing on all cylinders, what would that mean in increased sales to the organization? And he said, oh, I'm 100% confident that if we were able to solve these challenges, we could increase revenues by $10 million. Getting that CEO to articulate that specific number is value creation. That is creating value. And you're helping them do the math, but you're not giving them the money, the number. I didn't tell him, would it help you increase by $10 million? Or oh, you know, if you work with me, I can help you increase your sales by $10 million. No, because they're not going to believe that. That's not credible. Their bullshit detector is just going to be going off. So instead, it's helping them do the math and helping them start to ask questions. And I know for some people, this is like completely revolutionary. For others who have been with me for a long time, you're going to say, oh yeah, yeah, of course. That's a reminder. I need to get better at that. So take them through that math to get the value. And then once we start to talk about budget, it's not about price, right? It's about an investment in solving challenges. And so your specific price becomes far less important. One other thing that I'll say, Glenn, is that when people, every once in a while, people will, you know, I'll be on an initial call and they'll say, hey, you know, so this is great, but I just want to get a sense before we meet, like, you know, can you give me a sense of what your price is? And I'll always say this. I'll say, look, George, I really appreciate that question. And I'd be happy to answer that for you. But at this point, I can't tell you exactly what price would look like because I customize everything that I do. And until I have a better sense of what's going on exactly, I can't really just throw together a number. What I can tell you is that I'm significantly more expensive than probably anyone else that you'd be talking to. And before we get together, I just want to make sure that you'd be the type of person who'd be willing to invest. Again, assuming that, you know, we're on the same page and we see eye to eye and all of that. But I do want to make sure that you'd be willing to really invest in your organization. And 9 times out of 10, they say, oh, yeah, yeah, no, no, of course, of course. Right. And now I have just taken that off the table because I'm already positioning myself as the most expensive person that they're going to meet with. That's a mindset. That is literally throwing it on the table and saying, I am better than all the other people out there without actually saying it, right? Because everyone says, oh, I'm the best. But what they don't say is, oh, you know, I'm probably going to be more expensive than anyone else that you're talking to. And before we even meet, I want to make sure that that's okay with you. Not getting into the specifics because I don't know yet, but I can tell you, you know, that's likely to be the case. Fair? And they say, that makes a lot of sense. This is a positioning, and that's how you get away from the price altogether. One other thing, and this goes back to the first question that Greg asked, actually, which was, you know, value, but it's also who you're selling to, right? You'll notice all my examples in this second question are about selling to a CEO or a VP or something like that. You need to be selling to that high-level person in order to get away from price, because, again, low-level people focus on price. Other things, other thoughts that I had on that. Reducing sales cycle time. Glenn had asked about long sales cycles. It's really, reducing sales cycle time is not that difficult. What's difficult, of course, is changing your whole sales approach if you're selling really traditionally and old school and pitching your products and services. But once you get away from that and you're focused on asking questions and really solving core challenges, sales cycle time becomes less relevant, because usually long sales cycles are because prospects don't really want to just pull the trigger because they're not seeing the value. And so once you're actually focused on creating value through your questions and the challenges that they have, sales cycle becomes less important. And the other thing on sales cycle that we're going to talk about in the upcoming call, actually next month, is this idea of always having scheduled next steps. Every time you talk to a prospect in any capacity, there should always be a scheduled next step. And that should always mean a calendar invite. So you're meeting with them today. It's not, oh yeah, you know, give me a call back in a week. It's, let's put something on the books in the calendar, so that way we don't, you know, things don't just kind of fall off the radar. Having that clear scheduled next step is going to cut down on sales cycle time, because there's never going to be that wasted week where you just didn't really happen, right? The meeting didn't happen. And also you're gonna lose a lot of sales if you don't have those scheduled next steps, because things just kind of fall off the radar. People get distracted. They're focusing on a million different things, and bad things happen. So in the next call, we're going to talk more specifically about scheduled next steps. But I did just want to give you a teaser on that. And also, you know, that will cut down, that will cut down your sales cycle time. So that is the call for today. Those are my thoughts. And thank you specifically to Greg and Glenn for asking such great questions. But for those of you, I'm so excited that you are on this call. I challenge you, if you've got any other questions, go to the forum right now and just write in the questions, type it in. I'm also going to be sending you tomorrow access to a recording of this call, right? So we record this live, and then there will be tomorrow, I'll give you access to a recording of this so you can just listen to it whenever you want. So I hope you got some really good value today. Most importantly, what are one, two, or even three next steps that you can take that you can implement right away? What are those two or three ideas that you got from this conversation today that you can immediately go and implement into your selling? Go make it happen. Go implement it. Just take those next steps. Albert Einstein famously talks about this idea that nothing happens until something moves. So go make it move. All right. Thank you so much for being on this today, and go make something move.